gets in. Ben Sinnott. Fake it. Mariota throws it. Caught by Sinnott. Touchdown. The first of his NFL career. Rookie out of Kansas State.
How about Ben Sinnott? First two NFL catches, first two NFL targets, and touchdown number one came on his first catch right there. Welcome back to Grant and Danny, the stretch run on a victory Monday. You're listening live to The Fan all over D.C. on 106.7 and wherever you are via the Odyssey app. You can also watch the show. We are streaming on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page in high definition. Jeremy Chinn, safety with the Commanders, has been a nice addition. The former Carolina Panther, playing against his old mates yesterday, made four tackles on the back end. Quiet game, which is nice because he plays deep center field and means guys in front of him were doing their job for the most part. Chinn, part of a 33-point win and a near shutout of the Panthers. In the locker room, I found him at his locker yesterday.
Jeremy, whatever the game plan was, it seemed to work. You guys get the pick six, then a three and out. You were off and running, pulled them to 7 points in the game.
Man, I feel like seven was too many, man, to be honest with you. But it was a great game plan in place, and we just went out there and executed.
Is it one of those things where coming into the game, based on watching the tape or whatever the plan is, you guys feel really good, or does that happen after the game starts with kind of what's happening on the field?
I mean, we feel good going into it. I mean, we do a great job of preparing throughout the week, so we can come in on Sundays and just have fun and be confident.
The last time this team pitched a first-half shutout was in 2022. A full-game shutout was in 91. Yeah. Are you guys thinking about that, like, on the field in the second half? I mean, it's been 30 years. Obviously, you don't know that.
Yeah, man, for sure. Like, I mean, we don't know, obviously, it was since 91, but, like, I mean, we come out in the first half and they have 0 points. It's like, we need to finish this thing. But, I mean, we're chasing perfection. Like, that's how we come out here. That's how we approach it. That's how we approached it today. Unfortunately, they did score. But, you know, it was a great game all around.
For you individually, just playing a lot of former teammates and former organization, mm-hmm. any added satisfaction in just playing a good, strong game and putting some good film out there?
Yeah, of course. you feel me, Liz? It's always good when you can go back and, you know, play your former team and get a dub and, you know, have a great game. So, that was definitely added motivation and just a good feeling overall.
Last one, I know it's the other side of the ball, but when Jaden goes out, you guys probably think, uh-oh. And then Marcus comes in and the offense doesn't miss a beat. Right. Your thoughts on just the way Marcus played and Jaden moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, we got utmost confidence in everybody in this locker room. You know, whoever it may be in any position, we believe that people will step up and win and do what they need to do and execute their job. And that's just from the way that we work, from day one in training camp all the way to this point. We'll just continue to get better.
That was Jeremy Chinn in the locker room after the game. I don't know if my mic's working or what's happening right now.
It is now. It wasn't before. Now we're good, though.
Okay.
It's a huge part of what we're doing here is that old mic being on.
Microphone glass.
Microphone glass.
Microphone glass.
Oh, hi. We're talking. Hello. Radio, sir.
Let's go back one more time. Jeremy Chinn. In the locker room after the game.
After the game.
I can't tell you, though, how salty he was. I wish I had a camera on him. When I said that it's been since 1991, it was like he'd been wondering. He's like, you got to be kidding me. That long?
Yeah.
But I love the quote. We're chasing perfection. We needed to finish. I love that.
I do too. Again, because it's not just lip service. I keep hammering this kind of stuff. And this is not the same. I'm not saying it's the same. Everyone settle down, okay? But in my little guy's flag football game on Sunday.
That's not the same.
I'm not saying it's the same.
Oh, sorry.
An incredible play. The other team breaks free. The guy's going to walk in, jog in, whatever, for a touchdown, a long run. Two different kids on our team chase the kid down, pull the flag about a yard shy of the goal line. Would have been very easy for them just to kind of jog after him and quit. The other team ends up not scoring.
What are you comparing it to?
I'm saying in a game that doesn't matter at all. There's nothing about this game that matters. These little kids, they're learning what a snap is and where to line up, etc. I couldn't stop talking about that with the parents, with the kids, like post game. That's all the other coaches. All we wanted to talk about was that hustle and that effort in something that's meaningless as you're going to go eat a snack post game, right? In the NFL, the fact that you're up 40-0 It doesn't matter if the other team scores one touchdown or four touchdowns. You're still winning the game by double digits.
But you do understand it's not the same.
I'm trying to say that it's not the same.
Okay.
They just put forth the effort of my six-year-old. You'll be okay. Right. No, but you see my point. It's like, it's not just something that
Danny Witt coaching them up?
I'm sure I'm good. Like, let's go 4x2, and they're just, they don't know what I'm, where do I stand? What do I do? But the fact is, it's not just something that you do sometimes. It's not opt-in when it's convenient. You do this stuff all of the time, and eventually you'll take your chance with the results. I love it. Culturally, it's happening.
It is time for Don't Forget About on Grant and Danny. We do this every Monday. You can take part at 800-636-1067. What should we not forget about from the Commanders' Sunday win? It was a big one, 40-7 over the Panthers.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Don't you forget that Emmanuel Forbes had an interception. It means a couple things. Number one, Emmanuel Forbes had an interception. Number two, he was on the football field. That's a big deal. Active, playing football on the field. I have no idea what it means. I don't know that he's replacing anybody or moving ahead of anyone else on the depth chart or what that means. I think he was in for almost two-thirds of defensive snaps in this game, his most in a while, which is a huge deal. Good for him. It's not easy. Your first-round pick, you're disappointing to everybody all the time. Your name now becomes something of a punchline. It's probably not that much fun for him to go to work, right? As much fun as maybe everyone else is having. So that was really cool to see him jump an in-breaking route. He was there well ahead of the offensive player. Don't forget about that.
Don't forget about Brian Robinson scoring another touchdown, which means he scored in four straight games that he's played in and in five of six games that he's played in this year. Overtobe actually tipped me off to this a couple weeks ago. He's like, you realize Brian Robinson scores in every home game ever, right? And I'm like, I guess I didn't realize that. He's like, yeah, go back and look. He scores in every home game that's ever happened at that stadium since 1996, which is weird because he wasn't even born at the beginning.
Just not even alive.
But I put a little shekel or two down on B-Rob scoring a touchdown because he scores at home, and he did it again. But he scores everywhere, basically. A touchdown against the Panthers, two against Cleveland, then on the road in Arizona, scored a touchdown. On the road in the Bengals, scored a touchdown. Scored at Tampa Bay as well. That's six tutties for him through six games so far this season. Brian Robinson likes getting into the end zone.
Give me a don't you dare forget about Ben Sinnott. First career catch, touchdown. You saw in the preseason, remember that one catch he had over the middle, that kind of seam route where he trucked two guys and another guy missed, like someone got around to start again and he trucked that guy?
By the way, because of the preseason, I'm convinced and I'm like so confident in he's underutilized because he can't be tackled easily. He's makes plays after the catch. They should be throwing him the football more, but I'm not going to complain about anything because they score 31 points a game.
And this is kind of my point here. This is not a complaint. I'm just addressing the fact. It's gonna sound like I'm knocking the guy. I'm just gonna say it. We're just doing a show. That's all. I'm just
Will
saying.
You admit
it.
It's a complaint, then.
It's not.
It is.
It's not a complaint.
If you're gonna mention Zach Ertz's name, then I know it's a complaint.
I'm telling you this because you have Sinnott waiting in the wings. I do think this is going to happen. I think slowly but surely there's going to be more role for Sinnott as we go.
That's fair.
Two false starts for Ertz. A couple balls smacked him off the hands. He's not getting a ton of separation. He's still a valuable player. He is still helpful. He should still be on the field. He could absolutely still contribute, which he did in this game and will continue to do so. I'm saying they've got another, I don't want to say secret weapon because it's not a secret, but somebody that I think is going to have a larger and larger role as the season progresses, and I think his name is Ben Sinnott.
There. I think all of that is Eric
Is that fair?
Yes. It's fine.
Okay. Is that fair, Lakes?
What do you really want to say, though?
I said it.
Okay.
Please stop false starting.
That sounds like a complaint.
Catch the ball. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. Just hold on.
One more don't forget about for me. Don't forget about the Noah Brown PI that he drew. He only had the one catch for 16 yards, but then a near 30-yard PI that set them up for a touchdown in the first half that helped get Mariota going before he even had a completion. Mm-hmm. That was like the first big chunk play that they got in the passing game with him. Noah Brown has been a massive addition for them. And even when he is not, like in yesterday's game, doing a whole lot in the box score, he is a pain in the butt to defend. I think you've got to account for him. You're assigning a bigger-bodied physical DB his way. I think it's opened some other things up. I really, really like what he's provided.
It's a good fit. Yeah, I thought that ball, Brown had to flatten out a little bit because that looked like a flag or corner, whatever you want to call it to me. And if Mariota goes down the field more, it's a touchdown probably. But he had to flatten out, good adjustment, force the defender to smack him before the ball got there.
One more, don't forget about Mikey Sanristil's PBU to force a three and out right after the first drive.
Yep.
So the first drive, the Panthers, people sleep. They were moving right down the field.
A really good plan.
Dave Canales had a pretty first 15 design, and they were going marching into the red zone before the pick six from Dante Fowler. But on the next series for Washington on third down, Sanristil played a pass to Deontay Johnson, who's the best receiver for Carolina, and he broke it up on his back hip, basically. I mean, I always want the conversation. Did he get there early? Did he wrap his hand around his waist as he played the ball beautifully with his, you know, right hand there? Did his left hand wrap around the shoulder a little bit? Because it means it was just textbook and perfect. And if it was PI, it was barely PI. I don't think it was. I don't care if it was. That was a great play, and I thought he played really well again.
Me too. Love the team in tackles, by the way. He's physical.
Yes, he is. All right, to the phones we go. You guys have been waiting patiently. Let's go to Vic in Akakik. What's up?
What's up, y'all?
Hey, man.
So what I definitely don't want to forget about, I love the way that our linebackers thanking coverage this week. It gave us opportunity to get out to the passer in key series, particularly the one where Frankie Louvel was able to bend the corner. If you see how the pass rush married our coverage in the secondary and in the intermediate depth of the linebackers, D-Wag had sank just in front of the safety that was running with the crossing pattern, and it was about 15, 20 yards down the field. But because D-Wag sank deep enough and he kept sinking because nothing crossed his face, there was nothing that could hurt him directly in front of him. It gave Frankie Louvel the opportunity to bend the corner, but it made Andy Dalton hold the ball. And when you see those little things on defense, with what we have the athleticism to do, it makes you more confident that not only can these things be done, they can be done at a high level to the point where it frustrates offenses to say, what can we do to be successful? And that's what you want from your defense. You just want if your defense is doing little things right with athleticism and with consistency, sometimes great players are going to outplay great game players. But if great defenses do good things all the time, that's what eventually equates to being great overtime.
Thank you, Vic. We appreciate you. I mean, Vic does not put down his whistle. He's going to coach you up, right? He's going to let you know what he saw.
Mm-hmm.
In this particular instance, he's going to drill down on that one play. That's what a coach does.
You find it to illustrate a point about a larger theme.
Let's go to Jake in Bowie on Grant and Danny. What's up, Jake?
Hey, how you guys doing? How you guys doing? Thanks for having me on.
You all right over there? It sounds like you saw a spider.
I'm rushing, man. I'm trying to get to a softball game.
All right.
So I wanted to visit the Emmanuel Forbes interception real quick. It looks like he's in a shell defense end zone. And I'm wondering if it's kind of thing where it's like a process thing. He's in the right position, sees the quarterback's eyes. Obviously, it's a softball thrown to him. But is that the kind of thing where just a little bit of confidence comes for a guy who's kind of been crapped on for a while, maybe gets up a little bit more and comes a more serviceable quarterback down the road? What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I referenced that earlier. I mean, he played 2/3 of snaps very quietly. Now, part of that's probably because it's a blowout and maybe they're getting some guys' feet up. But the other part is he was on the football field, which hadn't really been the case of late. So
he played 4 snaps 2 weeks ago, and he was inactive last week. So to play half the snaps is a pretty big deal.
That is a pretty big deal. So that's the hope. I mean, when you are aggressive and that is rewarded, that's can only be a confidence builder. Like, there's nothing bad about the fact that he jumped the route and got an interception yesterday. You know what I mean? Like, how big a deal is it going forward? I don't know the answer to that. You'd have to, you know, dive inside his mind to figure that out. But I know that it can't hurt.
Don't forget about the creativity in the run game from Kingsbury. We see little wrinkles every single week. I don't even know if all of them are designed as much for like that play and what needs to be done as much as to just make the defense think and get them kind of moving around. On the Brian Robinson touchdown downhill out of the shotgun with Mariota, they had Andrew Wiley lined up outside of Brandon Coleman to the left tackle. So in other words, your right tackle was lined up as a tight end on the left, and it was an imbalanced line. So his center, left guard Allegretti, left tackle Coleman, left tight end essentially, Wiley, and then to the right of Biadasz, you had right guard Cosmi as the furthest lineman over, and then two tight ends off his hip who were not on the line of scrimmage in Sinnott and Ertz. It's just little things like that, little subtle things where then they immediately pull Sinnott, scrapes across, you know, the bottom of the line of scrimmage. Ertz releases out into the flat. And at that point, Robinson follows Sinnott into a gigantic hole and picks up 8 for a touchdown. But Kingsbury is always drawing up little wrinkles in the running game that I like. Let's go to Adrian in Fort Washington on Grant and Danny. Adrian, how are you?
Hey, how you guys doing this evening?
Good, buddy.
Hey, I just wanted to say we can't forget about Josh Harris, Magic Johnson, and Adam Peters. They have brought new life back to Washington, D.C. That hasn't been here in a very long time. So I would just love to say thank you for them for taking over ownership and bringing us joy back to Washington, D.C.
100% right. 100% right. It still hasn't – it's not commonplace yet. You know what I mean? It's not something I take for granted yet. I will one day. I'll wake up in what, 3 years, 4 years, 7 years, and go, remember Dan Snyder owned the team? And it'll just be normal. We'll have normal conversations about this decision or this football thing or what happened here and there. I am still smelling the roses. Just everything that happens, I just can't help but compare it to just a couple of years ago. To right around now, when Dan is sending, through his attorneys, is sending like defiant letters, I'll never sell, put it in caps, cold dead hands, making fun of people, yelling at Jim Irsay or whatever. Such a departure. Such a departure. 100% right.
Thank you for making it respectful and respectable at that stadium and just to be a part of it. I mean, I said this earlier when we were doing game balls. The Daryl Green celebration yesterday was well done.
Seemed like all class.
It was elegant. It was classy. It was, you know, we talk about this with the Capitals a lot. The Capitals did their 50th anniversary celebration to kick off their season. We were not lucky enough to have been there, and they had a concert, and they had this huge event. And they put on an immaculate show. I mean, they really, truly did. I don't know if they hire a company to put that on who runs concerts or you know how they pulled it off, but it was really amazingly done, and they are organizationally proficient and excellent at that, and they deserve credit for it. They do it better than anybody else in town. The Commanders ran an amazing event, something they are not good at, or at least I should say,
hadn't been.
The last iterations have been dreadful at. This was their first crack at it in a lot of ways, and maybe that's why they rolled out the red carpet to the extent that they did, but they did an amazing job at it, and I think they deserve credit for that. But that's the ownership part. In addition to thank you for hiring a general manager and then giving that GM the money that it takes to hire Lance Newmark, to hire Brandon Sosna, to hire the front office and the staff, and then empowering them to do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not telling them, hey, make sure we go draft this guy. My kid went to school with him. Hey, I really would think that we need a tight end who can run a 4-2, so grab this guy. No, let the football person do what he wants to do and go do something else, David Tepper, or else lose and embarrass yourself for 20-plus years. Choose one. Which path do you want to go down? But not a problem here anymore.
No. Imagine having it be a problem. But that's really what it is. When you go all out for something and people feel like they're being used, people feel like this, it's another money grab, where it's like a chance to come see Daryl Green. They didn't do this, by the way. But like a chance to come see Daryl Green get honored. For only $39.95, you can be in this waiting area. For only $79.99, you get a chance to see it. A couple diehards will take it, but for the most part, it cheapens it. When it really is about the celebration, when you're actually following through with the honoring the thing, person, place, idea, whatever that you say you're going to, and the whole point is for everyone to have fun, it pays off in the long run. You get great brand association. You get people that say, you know what? I had a blast. I will buy the next promotional thing. I will do the all-you-can-eat club-level tickets for $600 for the next home game or whatever. That's how you do it, man. You got to put deposits in.
Let's go to Moose in Falls Church. By the way, do you know a Moose other than Mike Messina and Daryl Johnston? I'm trying to come up with another Moose.
Like professionally?
Yeah.
Like at a pro level?
I feel like that's a sports guy.
Yeah, that's a sports guy. One of my teammates we called Moose. His name was Greg Condon, all-time wins leader at the George Washington University.
I guess I'll accept it. Yeah. You could be making that up.
No, he was nasty, but he was a big old Moose.
Mike Messina, Moose Daryl Johnston. There's got to be another one. Moose.
There definitely is.
If we're just doing our own local
Moose. Moose and Muhammad? Was he a Moose?
I don't think he was a Moose.
No, Moose.
But I did love Moose and Muhammad.
Of course.
What number did he wear?
A jersey number.
What number, though?
Do you want me to start going 1 through 99?
He wore 87.
87.
That's my guy.
87.
Moose, what's up? Home of the Jaguars, Falls Church.
Hey, guys. What's going on today? Dude. Thanks for having me. I just wanted to say thanks. You guys like my name. Also, I don't want to take anything away from the game, especially the four quarters that our team played. And I see it week in and week out. And I saw it was a team collective effort. Everyone stepped up defensively. I feel like we're getting better. And I just hope we can continue, keep this thing rolling. And we prove next man up. Mariota stepped in like the veteran he is, and that he could run our offense.
Thanks.
And I can't give enough to that, man. It wasn't easy for him to do that.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah.
Appreciate you.
You don't expect to play. You don't get the reps. You come in. And by the way, you're one of these guys who – people don't think is very good.
Yep.
I mean, that's just the rap on you.
That's what happens.
So you go over your first three. Everybody's joning. Twitter's having a field day. In the stadium, everyone's going, oh, here we go. You know, press box jokes are being made. And you just kind of keep chopping wood.
Tore it up.
Eventually, that tree falls down. So I'm happy for him. I really am. Made the most of his opportunity. Tom, Williamsburg, you're on the Fan. How are you?
All right. How are you guys doing? I really enjoy the show.
Appreciate you.
I wanted to just make an observation. I was at the game yesterday, and I know that Grant had said that he was in the press box. Did you notice with McCaffrey on, the designated passing plays, how that guy blocks and how he goes to his assignment, does his assignment to a T? But what I also noticed is how open he was all the time. What do you think? Why aren't they getting him more involved?
So it's a good question. I did not notice yet. I went back and watched the condensed version of the game every play. I have not yet gone back and watched all 22. So I could have more thoughts on this for you in due time. But I've talked about this a few times on the show from previous games that he is open a lot. And it matches the numbers where statistically, mm-hmm. based on separation percentage, he is one of the most open receivers in the league on average. He's a great route runner. He's a very physical blocker, willing blocker. I love the player. He was non-existent on the stat sheet yesterday. For whatever reason, I mean, they just kind of go where the reads take him or whatever. It has not been to him very often. And he's not going to be a 75-catch guy as a rookie. I think they're hoping he's a 25-30-catch guy. But if your question is, have you been impressed by him? Hell yeah.
Absolutely.
I think he's a real football player, and it's not surprising. I mean, his brother's an MVP in the league type player. If they were running backs were allowed to win the award, he would. And his dad was
pretty good.
Awesome wide receiver. So I always bet on bloodlines.
Yeah, so even in addition to that, I mean, yesterday, for example, this is going to sound like a criticism. It is not. But on at least two occasions, Austin Ekeler was alone. Like, I think on the there was a 3rd-and-7 pass to Ertz over the middle of the field where Ertz was like a yard shy of the first down. At the top of the screen, Ekeler probably could have walked in for a touchdown. Like guys are, it's like where your dictated reads take you, give you a really good percentage. And it's easy to say in a video game, scan the whole field, use your passing cone Madden style to find somebody open. But sometimes it's not where you're supposed to be going. The design's probably 1, 2, 3, 4, and he might be number 5, or 1, 2, and 3 are all open and the ball's already out.
Thanks, as always, to Kondorian Murad for making the show possible here on The Fan. They are our sponsor They will help you update your last will and testament, set up a trust for you and your family, schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. Go to kmlawyers.com. Tell them G&D sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Toby's got overtime coming up next. We'll be live and local deep into the evening on The Fan to keep this Victory Monday conversation going. We're at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny. You want to hit us up on social tomorrow on the show. We'll start at 2 o'clock. We've got a Jaden Daniels update, whatever we find out between now and then. 3 p.m., fastest 16 minutes around the NFL. 4 o'clock, tickets to see Disturbed in concert. And at 5 o'clock, our Tuesday appointment with Austin Eckler. That's tomorrow on G&D. Overtime is next.
Thank you for coming.